He says restrictions on communication, responses to general technical questions. Each respondent is prohibited from communicating regarding this RFP with SEPA board members for a period beginning with the release of the RFP until a contract has been approved by board action and awarded. These restrictions extend to phone calls, emails, and any other contact that result in the discussion of the RFP and or proposal submitted by respondent. Violation of this provision by respondent and or agent may lead to disqualification of respondent's proposal from consideration. Bidders cannot call board members and try to sway them to get the contract, and that's the intent of that paragraph. Bidders are told in another paragraph that they may address their questions to me in writing via email to the contract administrator's email. And so I believe that Mr. Murich simply misunderstood the language, because the board members have nothing to do with the process of looking and evaluating the bids as they come in.
Can I add one thing to that, just for clarity purposes, that the other idea behind that is so that the board is preserved so it can hear an appeal from a frustrated bidder just as it's doing today. So it's for protection of the bid process and fairness, not only for this current frustrated bidder, but for all other bidders in the process. And as you all know, I know you're familiar with this, but we need to also balance all of the complaints that this individual has against SEPA against all the fairness required for our other bidders to preserve a fair process.
Thank you, Joel. So we've heard, and the information is available. Did that answer your question, Jeremy?
Yes, and thank you very much. That makes it clear that the language was specifically prohibiting contacting board members, and that the organization staff could be contacted with questions and or clarifications. Thank you. That answered the question.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Dick. I move to reject the appeal of Infinity Care Tree Care in respect to the Back Island Brushing contract.
Do I have a second?
Second. This is Carl.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing, seeing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll on the motion?
Sievertson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysunka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. That moves us on to the motion that's on the floor in regards to the contract to be awarded to BAM. The motion is on the floor and has been seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing and seeing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysunka? Mr. Prysunka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead, Stephen.
I seem to be cutting out. I'm not sure if it's on my end. Are other people having trouble hearing Sharon? Or?
No, we're doing fine here.
Okay. All right, it must be on my end. If I don't respond, I apologize. I'm just, audio is cutting in and out from time to time. Thank you.
Yes, it sounds like it's delayed, so we'll go ahead and work with that. This brings us to item B, consideration and approval of the second revision of the digital communication device policy, page 49.
Wait, did we award the contract?
Did we call the roll?
Yes.
Yes, we did. We awarded the contract.
Okay.
Yes. All right, so we're on to item B.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt resolution 2021-077, adopting the second revision to SEPA's digital communication device policy.
Second, Prysunka.
It has been moved and seconded. Discussion.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Steve.
Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go right ahead.
Thank you, sir. I wondered about the possibility of changing this up slightly, and what I was thinking about is that previously the SEPA provided an iPad to board members, and that iPad was the property of SEPA and it was returned to SEPA. Excuse me. For some of us, we never took it because we're working with other technology. So for example, I just didn't take it. I use my own computer and it's where I'm most comfortable, and I do all my assembly business, everything on the computer. So now that we're changing it to that a person receives the actual item, I'd like to propose that instead of giving folks the item, that you receive the stipend for the item, and then you can apply that to however you want. So for example, if you want to use an iPad and you receive whatever it is, say $300, you go buy an iPad for $300, that's yours, you're done, you own it, it's yours. If I choose to use my computer, I receive $300, that goes towards the purchase of my computer or whatever it might be, and that's the end of it. And we may want to look at that at some point, there's, you know, if you're on the board for 5 or 6 or 4 years or whatever it might be, that you receive a second stipend towards your technology, because technology ages and it breaks and you have to replace it. So previously I was fine with providing my own technology when it was the ownership of SEPA. Now that we're sort of giving somebody something, I think it would be better to do it by a financial incentive that you purchase the item with yourself. And I would be very open too that you would do an application process, that you would say, hi, whatever. Some people may not want to do that. Some people may want to. So it's just a suggestion for a modification, actually.
Mr. Chair?
Yeah.
Yes. I think I agree with Steve on that from a standpoint that although I've got the iPad, from the Zoom position, it doesn't really work well. And so I'm kind of like Steve. I've used my own equipment now because it's much easier to hear and see from that than it is from the iPad. So I think I agree with Steve that policy needs to be changed to be a little broader. And I think his concept probably pretty good. You might want to change that or tweak it some.
Thank you, Bob. Anybody else?
Mr. Chair, I have a question for legal counsel.
Great, Carl.
If we're making payments to board members who in turn purchase iPads or other technical devices, are the payments considered income that they then in turn have to report to the IRS, and that SEPA would be required to notify the IRS of the payments to the board members?
I can't, Carl, I can't give each of you tax advice on that, but it seems to me that the payment is really, if it's structured as reimbursement, let me put it this way, there's a way to structure a stipend to make it reimbursement, because it's really for the agency's benefit to make sure that each of you have access to comms in the way that the agency needs you to. And that's how I look at it, and that essentially it was a stipend, it was essentially a way to get you a piece of equipment that benefits us. So as long as it's cost-based, I think you're okay.
I only ask because in my particular set of circumstances, I get an annual reimbursement for a life insurance policy, and that is considered taxable, and the city does report that, and I have to report that. So that's what was driving the question.
Got it. And I'm pretty comfortable with what I said, but given that, we'd probably want to confirm if we're going to alter this process. So I mean, so, I could draw a distinction, Carl, between an iPad and life insurance policy, but I'm not sure it's a proper distinction.
Didn't want to make a complex or more complex.
I get it.
So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes, go ahead.
I would say, first of all, I think it has the $600 is the minimum for having to report to the IRS, and we can do some more research. I know for employees, you can reimburse, you can do a stipend on cell phone usage and stuff like that, and that's not considered taxable income, but I probably would have to dig into it a little more.
So I get the intent of this, and I certainly appreciate that we want our board to have the availability technology to do what we need to do, especially in times like we have them right here in the COVID issue. And for myself, I haven't received an iPad from SEPA because I have my own, and I just soon work off of that and don't need that. But I can see where, you know, a cash stipend. The reason why I'm thinking about that now is if all of a sudden I get on a board and my internet was, adequate for what I was doing, but all of a sudden now I'm getting larger documents and maybe doing meetings, I may want to up that, and I could apply that to the bandwidth that I may want to purchase in order to attend and work through these meetings. So I could see some value in that. And I don't know how many board members have taken iPads. I think that in this day and age, anybody that's sitting on boards or local offices and stuff, they probably already have technology that can allow for meetings and board packets. So maybe we do need a little bit more work on this. I understand that IT at SEPA doesn't want to have to deal with the iPad issues or other software issues, and again, they don't want to end up with a bunch of outdated iPads that aren't working that they have to dispose of. So I think there's maybe overcomplicating this. The application process, for instance, if it was an application for $400 or whatever the amount may be, people like myself, I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't apply because I have good bandwidth and I have my own device. So I kind of know where we're going. So what do you think you want to do with this, Kay or Trey or whoever's managing this project?
So I'll jump in, Mr. Chair. My preference is why don't you let us rejigger this a bit, and we'll bring it back to the board and potentially couch it in a technology reimbursement type affair and figure out how we'll handle that internally with a potential application process or something like that, and what that value potentially could be.
So with that, I need a motion to defer, or we withdraw the motion so there's no...
Mr. Chairman, this is Dick.
Yes.
I'm going to make a comment first. Having sat on this board, I'll say off and on, for a number of years, most of those years, I was working from a city iPad. One year, I believe I did use the SEPA iPad. So if I'm on the city council and I have an iPad, I don't think I would need any more reimbursement. And I'm just throwing comments into the monkey works, but this year, I'm not on the city council, and I'm using my home computer. So it might be that if I required special programs or something to deal with it, it might be worthwhile. But anyway, I wish Kay and Trey some luck on figuring out what is fair and equitable to do with this. Thanks.
Mr. Chair, I have a kind of a question / observation.
Go ahead, Jeremy.
So when I look at this policy when it was originally developed, it made a lot of sense. They were issuing iPads to members because we were traveling to meeting locations, and this was our lifeline, as you'd say, to meeting packets and having that stuff available to us at the meeting in person. Obviously, as things have changed with us going to a Zoom platform, the iPad in itself can be used for these purposes, but I don't think was intended for that purpose. So I'm not sure if we were to change this to a stipend, what that's really doing to achieve the original intent of these issued iPads for the purpose of having agendas, meeting, and the meeting board packets available to us while we travel to a location and have the meetings. So, like, for example, I'm at work right now on a laptop. I'm not going to have this available to me when we with positive hope, get out of this Zoom era and get back to seeing each other in person and being able to travel to locations for CEPA business. So I just wanted to clarify, get clarification what the original intent of this iPad program was and whether or not that intent is to maintain that.
So very good point.
If I may, Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to answer Jeremy's core question there. Really, the intent of the whole iPad thing when we started was to get rid of the paper packets. They were getting big. They're bulky to travel with when we go to these remote meetings. And, you know, the iPad policy worked fairly well, but when we got them back, it was really difficult to manage. We were spending more staff time trying to reconfigure an iPad than the cost of the iPad. So we were looking for an alternative with this latest rev on how to address that in a more efficient way. So,
yeah. Well, let's come back with something simple that we can get our heads around to manage this. And I agree with you, Trey. The fact is that we wanted to reduce the time spent by staff and the cost of generating paper packets. We've done that at the city and other places, and it's worked very well. I think that we want everybody to have the availability of having their packets while they're traveling and at the board meetings. Just see if we can get something done with this. Yes.
I just want to clarify so that folks understand. I'm not looking to get rich off of this. It's just an equity thing. That in the past, I understood that this was something that was given from SEPA, and SEPA owned it, and it would be returned. And so, to me, that was, okay, no problem. There's no benefit to one person over another. When you change it to, you're getting this, and it's yours, and you own it, now there's a benefit. And if I choose not to take it, but the other thing is, you just take it, and then sell it, and then offset your tax. Like, it's just all, gets all weird. And that's why I thought about it would be better just to have a stipend. I'm not, I may well not take it myself. I just know that if somebody down the road maybe doesn't have the same financial resources as myself or someone else, may require that assistance to help with bandwidth and so on, and you're giving them your time already. Some folks get paid to be on this board. Some folks, just through their job. Other folks are not paid for it. So that was my only thought on it. Not trying to garner any extra perks or anything. Besides trips to Ketchikan and Petersburg, you can't do that.
There's mud. So
I'm sorry, can I know we're beating this to death here, Mr. Chair, but I also think that part of the impetus behind this change is to account for what you've all said in terms of the impact of COVID. And so it may actually justify a change in review of the policy, because it wasn't only a benefit to, it's not only a benefit to the agency to reduce paper, it's also a benefit to the agency to figure out how to make sure each of you get online so we can conduct business.
All right, so do I have a motion to defer and send it back to the administration?
Mr. Chair, may I just withdraw my motion?
You may.
Procedurally?
You may.
Okay, I choose then to withdraw my motion. Thank you.
You second agree with that?
Agreed.
All right. The motion's been withdrawn, and we won't take any action. And Trey, you guys can have it back and massage it the way you think you need to. Thank you.
That'll move us on to item C, discussion and consideration and approval of authorizing resolution and indenture the reason the submarine cable financing in Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. And I think there is a motion on page 62. Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move to adopt resolution number 2021-078, authorizing the state and issuance of electric revenue bond series 2021 to the Alaska Municipal Bond Bank, consistent with the terms provided in the resolution, in order to provide the funds necessary, one, to pay or reimburse SEPA for the cost of the submarine cable replacement project that consists of the replacement of the failed electric submarine power cable between the islands of Warangowski and Bank, which is necessary to provide reliable wholesale power to the rural island community of Petersburg, as well as other capital improvements to the agency's projects. The improvements to make a deposit to the bond reserve fund as necessary, and three, to pay the issuance costs of the agency.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
Okay, this is Dick.
All right, it's been moved by Bob and seconded by Dick. Craig.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I think I hit on most of the high points with regard to this particular transaction. I think we've kept the board fairly well informed along the way on progress. We've been approved up to $14 million, as I previously mentioned. I anticipate that's probably going to be closer to $13.4 million. And we'll dial in that within the next week or so as we get ready to price the bonds. My general estimate on the annual increase in debt service, approximately $800,000. They may be a little bit more once they actually get priced. So happy to answer any questions on this particular transaction. The resolution you guys are, the motion you're being asked to approve, I think most folks on the call here are pretty familiar with that process with Alaska Municipal Bond Bank. But happy to take any questions. And certainly we've got Joel here as well to assist in that.
So thank you, Trey. These are revenue bonds. And did the 13.4 include contingency?
Yes, that's included in the board approved capital project, R&R project. I want to say it's 13.37 something in change.
Yeah. Okay.
So we typically on these bonds you round up a little bit, and then on top of what was approved by the board, there's some issuance costs that we added a little bit for that. But we do have fairly good contingency in the approved R&R project.
Perfect. Thank you. Any questions from board members? Hearing seeing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Prysanka? Mr. Prysanka?
Yes.
Thank you. Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That motion passes. Brings us on to item D, consideration and approval of the second amendment to the lease easement document for Taiyi, Swan, and Fair Lake Solomon Gulch hydro projects and agreements, the reason reclamation reserve account payments. That is on page 91.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Steve, did you speak up?
All right, I'll take it. I move to authorize staff to enter into a second amendment to lease and easement documents from the Alaska Department of Natural Resources to the Taiyi Lake, Swan Lake, Kara Lake, and Solomon Gulch Lake hydroelectric projects and an agreement for SEPA to continue an annual payment of $37,500 in a separate dedicated reclamation reserve account. Pursuant to these actions, I further move to authorize staff to apportion funds from the existing DNR reclamation fund, 50% of which shall be deposited to CEPA's separate reclamation reserve fund, 50% of which will be distributed equally to Copper Valley Electric Association and Kodiak Electric Association.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved by Stephen and seconded by Bob. So with this, Trey, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Joel to speak to how this reclamation process came about, since he was probably around during this whole process. Joel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
For a little history here.
How much do you want to know? Okay, so this, at least from all of the known items out there, this truly is the last item from that hangs over from the restructuring from the Four Dam Pool Power Agency to SEPA, the Southeast Alaska Power Agency. Many years ago, when the original Four Dam Pool was put together, there was a huge negotiation with DNR over this reclamation, which they were trying to value all of these dams at huge amounts of money. And if, you know, God forbid something happens to each of these facilities, DNR could turn around and go back after the utilities to pay to reclaim DNR's property. We ended up negotiating again. Back in around 2006, we came to an agreement that said we would pay this amount of $37,000, that it ended up being $75,000 a year. It was a great deal then. When we moved to restructure in 2007, 2008, we were able to get DNR to agree to leave $75,000 as the amount for each of the four projects. Again, a really great deal. Lost in all of this was the final paperwork. And the Attorney General, moved on. DNR, I think there are three different people who retired in the process, and we kept at it, and to Trey's credit, he kept pushing and pushing until finally we got someone to listen to us, and this is where we're at. It's a wonderful deal for the agency to continue to do this. As I recall, Trey looked at trying to replace all of this with some sort of bond, which ended up being vastly more expensive. So we're just going to split up the funds, send Copper Valley, Kodiak their money. We'll keep our money, and we'll continue to pay $37,500 a year. Did I miss anything, Trey?
I can add a little bit more. That was a great summary. Thanks, Joel. First of all, we still, after we get past this acceptance of amendment number two, the next step is for me to go negotiate with the general office and put ink to paper on what they've already indicated would be acceptable to them, and that would be continuing our same rate of payment and utilizing the existing balance, our portion of the existing balance of the fund, as seed money for the new fund. Another point, a little bit of point of history on the fund itself, is the fund was a collective fund. And so if any one of the four projects went kaput and had to be removed, any one of the utilities could draw that entire amount out and apply it to their project. So how we've restructured this, SEPA puts in their portion, and if we ever need it, it's there specifically for our project, which I think is great. And on top of all of this, there was a bit of cleanup, if you will, from the transition from FDPPA over to SEPA, and these documents also clear that up as well. So as Joel mentioned, I've been working on this for many years, and it just took getting all the right folks in the right chair, building some momentum. This mostly stemmed out of a meeting when I was in Juneau, and I met with DNR there in Juneau and lit a fire under it. Got some face-to-face interaction with key people, and to their credit, They've helped carry the water on this. So I'm excited that we're finally going to be done with something that's been dragging on for an incredible over a decade.
Yep. So maybe I can add one thing on DNR. I mean, they have a tough job in the state and sometimes just get maligned so much, but the staff at Juneau DNR are the ones who really helped, you know, move this across the line. So big kudos to them as well.
All right, thank you guys for that explanation. I just wanted to make sure, because I do understand that this has been something that's on the burner for a long time, and it's nice that I may get some kind of resolution, so I'd like to thank staff for all their work on it. Are there any questions from the board members? Hearing and seeing none, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Coos?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to 7E, executive session, reason to discussions related to potential interconnection with Met McCalla. That motion is on page 103.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
I move to recess into executive session to be conducted pursuant to CEPA's bylaws consistent with Alaska statute 44.62.310 for discussions related to potential interconnection to Metlakatla, as the discussions will include matters, the immediate knowledge of which will clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of public agency.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It has been moved and seconded. To recess into executive session or move into executive session. Any discussion?
If you don't mind, Mr. Chair, I'd like to invite Robert Seidman to join us as well for staff.
Absolutely. And just as a little housekeeping, right now it's 11:03. So we expect to be back on 11:10. Give everybody a short break so.
Can you give me a little bit more time so I can convert this audio? It's going to take
11:15.
Yeah, that'll work.
All right. So we'll come out of regular session and we will move to executive session to be convened at 11:15.
Mr. Chair, I think we still need to call the roll on that.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yes, I just do in the housekeeping. So with that, Sharon, would you please call the roll?
Coos.
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysanka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes. With that, we will move out of regular session and reconvene in executive session. And I think there's an email with that Zoom conference invite. So we'll see you there.